Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 25.
Can you imagine getting to a point in the podcast where numbers just don't matter anymore? 25 is pretty big, dude.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty stoked.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah. We've been going just a little over a year now. So yeah. I'm digging it, man. I'm digging it.
Right on. 25.
Yeah, that's right.
Right on.
What did he say? Quarter century?
Quarter century.
I'm still not 100% fully recovered from my cough and cold. Still have a bit of a cough, but what can you do? The show must go on.
You got to stop going to film festivals and 24-hour movie marathons.
That's
and rest up and play video games.
That's probably what I should do. I did a bit of that this weekend.
Nice.
Yes.
Damn, dude. South by Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah. My first South by. It is a pretty crazy place. Like the first 4 days, super chill. I was just like, what are people talking about? This is like any other festival. Like this is like VIF lineups kind of thing. Once the music people get involved, you get music, interactive, and film all together, and it becomes a total fucking gong show downtown.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
did you have any line problems / not getting into movies?
The only time I got shut out was when I went to see back-to-back screening at the Ritz, which...
Small theater.
That was my first mistake going to see... planning on seeing two films there back-to-back without an express pass. I'm going to get more into that later. When we break down the South by stuff, I'll talk about advice and stuff, but yeah, I got shut out of Manson Family Vacation and got stuck with watching Get Hard at South by Southwest.
Oh, more on that later.
Yeah, that's one of the films we're reviewing for main reviews.
So I never asked you this question when I was talking to you during the festival, but did you eat any barbecue?
I ate one barbecue place and it was terrible.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, you went to Austin.
Yeah, it was like a food truck.
Oh.
And they had a smoker behind the truck, like a custom-built smoker. I did investigate it at first.
Cooking some rat?
Well, it's as if the brisket had been sitting there all day and it just wasn't fresh.
Poor.
Yeah. So I had really gross aftertaste in my mouth the whole freaking day and it sucked.
That sucks, man.
Yeah. But oh well. I did try to make tentative plans to go to La Barbecue because it wasn't that far from where I was hanging out.
I did chastise you for that.
You did. But the thing is, like, apparently the line can be up to an hour or longer, maybe. So I was like, well.
Well, it's a pussy lineup compared to Franklin's.
That's right. I have to go there for Fantastic Fest.
Still haven't figured out if I'm going to Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really... the Canadian dollar has just tanked.
Big time.
So for every dollar I spend there, I'm losing 20 cents. Like, yeah. Just putting back on. It sucks.
Minimum 20 cents.
Yeah, because it could go down more.
Well, not only that, but the banks don't always charge the actual rates. They actually charge higher.
Yeah.
And if you're using your credit card, which I don't recommend, I kept my credit card transactions to a minimum because, well, depending on your plan, they're going to charge you like processing fee or whatever the hell they call it. So,
and Adrian's just a baller. He's got cash cut out of his pockets. He's throwing down ones and tens and 20s.
That's what I was doing, actually. Yeah, I brought like $500 with me and actually came home with a couple $100 left. So,
wow, nice.
Over the span of a week, I spent about $300 in cash, and I don't care to comment on how much in hotel and flight and everything else. So,
that's what scares me about Fantastic Fest.
Yeah. It was fun. It was well worth it. I want to go back again next year. If I do go back, I'd probably only go for 5 days. Just because any festival is going to be tough. And that one was made even more tough because I was physically ill the entire time. Every day I'd start out, I'd blow my nose for like legit like 5 minutes, nonstop blowing my nose 5 minutes.
Oh, dude, I'm proud of you because I am festival strong, man.
Yeah,
and I will not go to South by Southwest.
Yeah, I think you'd have a blast there, though, man.
I totally think I probably would, but yeah. I just I don't know. I've just heard so many horror stories.
Well, You could easily see 5 films a day, sometimes 6. It's all about venue choice. Like I said, I'll get into it later, but...
Stick to the Lamar or the Paramount?
Paramount. Stateside is right next to Paramount. South Lamar, as long as you're there for a couple screenings. Those lineups weren't too bad.
And the South Lamar is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great place to see a movie. Love that place. Yeah. Ritz is right on 6th Street, right downtown. There's lots of stuff going on there.
I love the Ritz.
Yeah. And the shit thing about going to see a film at the Ritz, if you line up first, you're punished for lining up first. They put you in venue number 2, which is the smaller venue. Lower seat capacity, and I think the screen is smaller too.
Nice.
So,
what's up with that?
Yeah. I saw a shit film called Quitters, and I went to go, I was first person in line. I get in, go up the stairs, and I go to take a left to go up to Theater 1. And the girl's like, no, you can't, you gotta go in there. I was like, well, I want to go in that theater. She's like, oh, it's almost full. I was like, well, I was the first person in line. She's like, you need to go in that one, number 2.
Wow.
Someone grabbed a seat in 2, came out. And sure enough, people are the next group. They're all going in 1.
Thanks, volunteer person.
Yeah, I only traveled, X number of kilometers and spent thousands of dollars to be there.
Still remember my first Draft House experience was at the Ritz, and we saw Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
That was
one of my favorite movies of all time, and I was just in love with that place.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, if you go to Austin, South Lamar is awesome. The Ritz is the shit.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it was one of the first Alamo draft houses, right?
It was.
So yeah, that's cool. South by in a nutshell. I'll get more into it a bit later.
Talk about some movies.
Let's talk about some real world stuff first.
Some real world stuff?
So let's get real up in here for like 2 minutes.
So remember last podcast where Adrian might have been talking some shit about my Manchester United Red Devils. Well, folks. Man U.
With the assistance of the refs.
Please. Defeated Adrian's Liverpool.
Yeah. It was a great game. Juan Mata is a fucking animal, dude.
There is never a dull Liverpool Man U game.
Yeah.
Something always happens.
Yeah.
And Steven Gerrard showed his true colors. And by that, I mean red.
Well, the same could be said for Jones and Rooney, who got away with 2 calls that easily could have been a red card.
Yeah, well, Skrtel stomped on David De Gea at the end, so it's kind of all even, right?
Well, no. You guys got the win, so it's not even.
And the fact that Gerrard, before he got the red card, absolutely destroyed a guy.
That was just an aggressive tackle. I don't see how you can talk about that when Jones hit Henderson. Was it Henderson? He annihilated 2 guys, Henderson
It was a 50-50 ball.
Yeah, a 50-50 ball in which he didn't even go for the ball. Sure, that's sure thing.
50-50 ball.
No, you have no idea what a 50-50 ball is.
Oh, I totally know what it is. That's my
excuse. If he didn't even play the fucking ball, dude. He tackled him without going for the ball.
Adrian is still really sore.
No, you have no fucking idea what you're talking about. He was running down the red right wing, and Jones just straight up slammed his whole body into him without playing the ball. That's not a 50-50 ball.
I know. I was just being a dick.
Moving on.
So good. How are the Canucks doing, man?
No clue.
Still no clue? No. Playoffs start in 2 weeks?
Yeah. What do they have, like 4 or 5 games left?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to play in Chicago first round, unless something happens.
I'm not sure.
And that's just going to be a war.
Yeah.
Red Wings are probably going to have Tampa Bay.
Oh, really?
This is like my worst freaking nightmare.
Oh, no way. They're a pretty good team.
Yeah, a really young, fast team that's going to play against my young, fast team. Awesome.
Yeah. But Helm is a beast.
Yeah. I'm thinking first round loss, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll see.
We're going to be good in a couple years.
Yeah.
It's a building. Finished Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. Did you find an infinite ammo cheat?
No, I did not. I got really good at fighting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game was spectacular.
It's pretty sweet.
Best game I played in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you haven't played it and you own a PS4, buy Last of Us.
Yeah, and the story's great, yeah, too. Great story.
That ending was just like, holy crap.
You'll have to remind me later because I can't remember what happened in the end. But yeah. Or
just replay it.
Yeah, yeah, I have it.
You bought it on PS4, so yeah. Check it out again.
Yeah.
If you don't remember it, yeah, definitely play it again, man.
Cool.
Anything else, man?
What was I going to mention? I had something.
Well, while you're going, I was reading an article today. Do you know the temperature in Antarctica was today?
No, I don't know.
63 Fahrenheit.
Oh, really?
17 Celsius.
Are you serious?
It was hotter in Antarctica today than it was here.
That's ridiculous.
Global warming, folks.
Wow.
It's Science Show with Bill. But global warming, folks. Al Gore was right.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, 63 Fahrenheit.
Jeez, that's unreal, man. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Huh.
I read Reddit all the time when I'm at work. Nice. When I'm supposed to be working, I read Reddit.
Nice, nice. Reddit's pretty cool.
I love Reddit.
Yeah. I was going to mention, now you mentioned on the last show, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the Ellie Kemper show, and you said you turned it off like 30 seconds in.
No, I turned it off like 10 minutes in.
10 minutes in. Okay. Yeah. I watched the whole season, the first season.
What?
And I quite enjoyed it. Like, the first, I'd say about first half of it's really, really strong, really just funny. Then the energy starts to wear down and you start to maybe not laugh at every joke, but it did end pretty nicely. So I was very satisfied, but far from perfect show. Like, if I were to give it a rating, I'd probably give it like 7 out of 10 or whatever, something like that.
All right, I'll try it again. Yeah.
But yeah, if you're easily annoyed by Ellie Kemper, she won't win you over on this one.
She just drove me nuts.
Yeah.
But which is so weird because she's so adorable.
Yeah. And she, yeah, that's and part of it.
And I don't get it. She drove me nuts.
Yeah. And her roommate is really annoying, but funny.
Oh, God.
And it was a good show.
Sell it, man. Sell it.
I enjoyed it.
I've really been enjoying it. It's only been 2 episodes so far, but the new Rob Thomas show, iZombie.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
It's Veronica Mars with zombies. And I love Veronica Mars.
Oh, nice.
So it's great. Love it.
Right on. Yeah, I saw you post a couple tweets about that. So. Yeah.
So good.
I think Sarah's interested, so we'll probably check that out.
Zombies.
Is it better than The Walking Dead?
I wouldn't know. I've only seen 2 seasons and I stopped, so.
Yeah. You made it further than me. I made it about a season and
that's 4 episodes. Season. Seriously? 5 or 6 episode stretches where nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and then something would happen and you'd be like, okay, another 5 episodes. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, brutal. Like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have anything else?
I think that's it.
Cool. Well, we should get to our next section for the rant. Well, we rant about stuff, movie related. Do you want to go first?
My rant is about the really amazing horror film It Follows and how they absolutely botched the release of it.
You think so?
So it's supposed to be a VOD movie.
Yeah.
But they release it in a couple theaters and it does pretty good. So they scrap VOD.
Oh, yeah.
Put it in theaters with no promotion at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nobody knows this film is even out.
Yeah.
And it didn't even open in Canada. It opened opened in Vancouver because Tom Charity, a good lad, booked it for Van City months ago.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's playing in Vancouver for like 2 or 3 days or something like that.
Yeah.
But it opens in Canada in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The movie is so damn good.
Yeah.
If it's in your neighborhood or your city, check it out. It's awesome. Yeah. But they blew it. That's it opened brutal. On 1,200 screens. It did $4 million.
Yeah. Huh.
Home, the new DreamWorks animated film, did $54 million.
Wow. Yeah, that one crushed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
We said it before, we'll say it again. Another awesome horror film that's getting completely lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, like why not release it around October, September?
We didn't do good for Your Next.
Yeah.
Or The Guest, or a bunch of other awesome films. And It Follows, I would have loved to have seen 20 plus.
Yeah, that would have been, yeah.
Because the horror films, unless they're like Insidious 12, don't yeah. don't do good numbers, or the Conjuring or whatever
yeah.
the hell. But yeah, I wish it had got a better distribution pattern.
Yeah.
Deserved it. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, that now that you mention it, I fully agree with you. Like, it's a film, if they got behind it, marketed it that, maybe counter-programmed it against something that's not Disney.
Yeah, obviously, and don't open it against Furious 7.
Yeah, yeah, because it's going to get buried next weekend. Yeah, totally. Nobody's going to watch it. And also, there's Cinderella still out right now, yeah. So that's going to be pulling in some big numbers. So,
but it's got a good trailer.
Yeah.
I love the trailer.
Yeah, it's a great film. Great, great film.
Cut together a decent TV commercial. I think that movie could have done 20.
Yeah.
But nobody knew it was even there.
Yeah, that's true.
Boo.
And how many times have you gone to the movie theater and you see like a group in front of you and they're legit like looking at the movie posters going, what should we watch? I see it almost every weekend here in Victoria.
I'm going to watch The Gunman.
Oh, yeah. It's got that guy from him. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. So my rant, it's about wide release films at film festivals. Yes, I'm pointing my fingers at Furious 7.
Preach.
Man, I was at South by Southwest when they announced the secret screening of Furious 7. And seriously, for about 1/10 of a second, I got really excited. And I was like, oh, fuck that. I didn't travel all the way to Austin, Texas to watch a film I'm going to be able to see in 2 weeks. And they played it at the Paramount, which seats like 1,100 or 1,200 people. So, of course, all the star fuckers were like, OMG, Furious 7, we got to see that. And it played in the midnight slot. Now, the midnight movies that played that night, I only know of two of them. I didn't really write down what was playing. We Are Still Here and Deathgasm played that night. There were some empty seats for We Are Still Here. Still a pretty good turnout. And a guy I rode the shuttle with on the way home, he said there was legit 30 people in Deathgasm, which only plays in the midnight screenings, which is another rant. The midnight screenings for South by Southwest only play at midnight. They don't play in the afternoon the next day or a few days later. So if you want to see a midnight movie, you've got to endure all the fucking movies before that and pray you stay awake long enough to see it. So yeah, I just thought it was shitty to place like one of the year's biggest films at a film festival, you know, take away from the indie horror films that were playing that night. I thought that was shitty, and I was so pissed off.
The only excuse you had is if you'd already seen both those films, because there's no excuse.
Yeah, and with two other venues, there was a minimum of probably 5 midnight movies playing. There was the Ritz and South Lamar.
If you, as you said, if you go to a film festival to watch movies that open in 2 weeks, I hate you. You're scum. And if I ever see you, I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
Yeah. It's the definition of being a whore is what it boils down to. Only exception I can think of is for the few friends that I know that actually do this for a living. But and for them, they're not making much.
No, but they probably had a junket screening of that or a press screening of that less than a week later.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. If not,
like 3 days later.
Yeah.
So no excuse on that either. That's true. You're whores.
Yeah. All so that you could say first.
Oh,
fuck that.
Oh my God, I saw Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah. And James Wan was there, apparently.
Whatever.
So yeah, that's my rant. I'm finished.
Cool.
Fuck you, Furious 7. I can't wait to see you in a few days.
I still think you're going
to
be really good.
Yeah, in the comfort of my own theater here in Victoria.
Yeah.
Ah, wow, that was a spirited opening, huh?
Integrity, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You got to have integrity.
Yeah, and I'm very happy that that night I watched We Are Still Here, which was one of my most anticipated films of the festival. I was glad I watched it. It was a blast. More on that later.
I think I worked and maybe came home and like drank a beer.
Nice.
Yeah. Sad life.
That's right. So let's get into some main reviews.
Yes.
So we've got three.
What would main you like reviews. To do first, sir?
All right. Let's start with Cinderella.
I want to tell you a secret that will see you through all the trials that life can offer. Have courage and be kind.
She'll merely be your stepmother, and you'll have two lovely sisters to keep you company. So I'll know, as far away as I may be, that you'll be safe.
Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella?
Yes, stepmother.
Oh, you needn't call me that. Madam will do.
Cinder wench. Dirty Ella. Cinderella.
Whoa. Are you all right? Miss, what do they call you?
Never mind what they call me.
I'm sorry.
It's not your doing.
Nor yours either, I'll bet. I hope to see you again, miss.
And I you.
We know the story.
It's not like this hasn't been done 5, 6, 22 times.
In the last 2 years.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a classic story that unfortunately I was not very impressed with. And I'm going to probably sound like a real shithead.
The really funny thing about this show is that every time I like a movie, I don't think I'm actually going to like. I'm thinking, oh, Adrian's going to dig this film.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And then he hates it. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah, I know, dude. I'm the monster who was like howling in the beginning of Cinderella when it's supposed to be emotional. The little girl and the mother in the very beginning were just god-awful. And you cut to this shot of Ben Chaplin, like, pouring his soul out in front of the camera. And I just laughed because he was the only convincing one. And the other two were just shit. And I was like, what the fuck? How can you miscast these two? They're just so terrible. So right off the bat, they turned me off.
You are heartless, sir.
Oh, bring it on. I don't care.
So everybody knows the story. My thing about this film is that Kenneth Branagh has enough class to make me think more about this than I already knew. Like, he brought more to the film than I thought he would, because he's a classy director.
Yeah, he is.
He did
really
Thor,
good.
For Christ's sake.
He did. Yeah. Yeah, and he's done, like, a bunch of Shakespeare adaptations.
He did Hamlet.
Yeah.
He shot it in 70 millimeter.
Oh, that's right.
The last, like, other than The Master, like, the last, or like Baraka and all that, like, yeah, the last major film to be released in 70 millimeter. I saw it in 70 millimeter too.
Oh, wicked.
It was amazing.
Nice.
It's a really pretty film. I think everybody is really good in the film, except for, yeah, you are right. The mother and the child at the beginning are not very good.
Yeah.
But right off the top, Lily James, never heard of the girl before.
Yeah.
I thought she was adequate.
She was okay.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's, yeah. She wears a dress well.
She looks the part.
Yeah, totally.
And she photographs well. She's very comfortable in front of the camera.
Yeah. Cate Blanchett.
I love her.
Chewing scenery. Oh,
I love every second she's in this movie.
She's great.
Yeah.
And the second I saw that she was in the film, I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
I'm done. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
She automatically brings the film up to another level.
Oh, big time.
Just for being there.
Yeah. There was at the end of one scene, at the end of her just being cruel, I turned to Sarah and I was like, she's so fucking mean. I love it. She's great.
So yeah, she marries Cinderella's dad. Stuff happens to the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Probably already know the spoiler on that one. It's if you don't know the story of Cinderella, did you not watch anything when you were a child?
Guess not.
And she becomes like the guardian of Cinderella, Cate Blanchett's character. And she has two daughters who are also as bitchy as the Cate Blanchett character.
Yeah.
And the whole world revolves around them. And Cinderella is their maid, more or less.
Right, right.
Does all their chores, does all their laundry and everything. And one day, while out on a horse trip, she meets the prince.
Rob Stark.
Actually, All right, I like that.
Yeah.
Never really thought of that, but that's good. He's kind of got that. He's a little bit more cleaned up than the Game of Thrones character.
That's right. That's right.
And he is immediately smitten.
Yeah. One thing
Adrian's laughing in the background when he's
not to sidetrack you too much, but man, how short is he? Because when he stood next to Lily James, they were both like the same height. I'm like, wow.
All I know is that I got some height problems in a later movie that just screwed me up.
Nice.
But but Cinderella's stepmother does not want her to go to the prince is having a ball to try to find his mate because his father, played by the amazing Derek Jacobi.
Oh yeah,
you know if it's a Kenneth Branagh film, Derek Jacobi is going to be in it.
That's right.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. Stellan Skarsgård is in this. Another guy that brings everything up.
Yeah,
every time he's in a film,
he plays it well.
He's great.
Yeah.
So he decides he's going to have a ball to find his mate, and the wicked stepmother doesn't want her to go. And then all of a sudden, magic happens.
Yeah,
pumpkins get turned into carriages and lizards become drivers and
yeah
and she wears really uncomfortable glass slippers
all fashioned by Helena Bonham Carter,
not made by Nike. I tell you, those things look really uncomfortable.
<That's right. laughs> Yeah, it did not look very practical, but all that stuff when that was happening, I loved Helena Bonham Carter in that.
Yeah, she's great.
She's when she's not in a Tim Burton film, I really enjoy the stuff she does. So she breathed a lot of life in the film for me when she showed up, because I needed it at that point. I just thought the film was too paint by numbers. I know the old formula, the expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's truly their mantra in this film. About the most positive things I can say about the film is I loved Blanchett. I loved Helena Bonham Carter. I'm not big on costume and set design, but I was really impressed with every piece that was in front of me while watching it. So aesthetically, beautifully shot. The costumes are outstanding. And set design's just incredible. But I've seen this story about 30 times in the last 4 years.
So, I get it.
Yeah.
But I thought it brought more.
Yeah.
I don't know. As I said, I thought for sure you were going to like this.
Oh, no.
We're talking about what we're going to review on the show. And I'm like, dude, I liked Cinderella. You should probably go check that one out.
Yeah.
Under my like positive recommendation, you went and saw Cinderella.
And I wanted to see it because of Cate Blanchett. I'm a big fan of hers. Like over the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, I've grown a higher appreciation for the work she's doing.
She was pretty good in that Blue Jasmine film.
Oh, she's amazing in that one.
Yeah.
So good. This just didn't do it for me. But
that's cool.
You know, I think it'll appeal to the fans of the story. Anybody who wants to see the story retold with no surprises will enjoy this one.
I say check it out. I thought it was pretty good. Adrian is just perplexing me. this one, I think I got this guy down. He figures a way to screw me up.
Heartless, soulless one today.
That's cool.
Yeah. What did I text you right after it? I was like, well, that was a bland piece of shit or something like that.
Part of me broke, man.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Actually,
dude. I don't give a shit, but.
Yeah. So Bill says, see it. I say, if you're interested, see it, but I can't recommend it. So should we move?
So Adrian didn't cry.
No, there was definitely no tears from me.
I'm officially just completely screwed up when it comes to saying see this film, because I just have no idea where he's going anymore, people.
I'm a wild cannon here, man.
Yeah.
are we done with Cinderella?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to the next film that I don't think either one of us enjoyed. We're talking about Get Hard with Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart by first-time director Ethan Coen.
Who gives a shit?
That's right.
This is Mr. King's car. Man owns the building. At least we can get his car right.
Oh, I have almost no cash. just $9,000.
I got your keys.
Just so you know, I would have done the same thing if you were white.
That's good to know. Money, 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 money. I'm
rolling in the money, 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 money. Buenos dias, Cecilio.
There's a water spot. You want to take people to see those? Damn it. Get the roof.
James King.
Yes?
You're under arrest for fraud and embezzlement.
I have faith that the justice system will exonerate me.
I sentence you to 10 years in a maximum security prison.
Did he say 10 years?
My life is ruined. Because after 30 days, I'm going to prison.
It's not as bad as I've heard, is it?
Hell yeah, it's bad.
Teach me how to survive in prison the way you did.
Tell me how you know I went to prison.
Given your low economic status.
Wait, what?
Your perceived lack of college education.
Lack of, okay.
Statistically, you definitely went to prison.
I'll see you tomorrow, convict.
Hello?
You ready, white boy?
Oh, boy. Where do we start with this?
Was the intro to the movie at South by Southwest funnier than the film?
It was, yes.
Okay.
Probably because everybody was just in the moment. You've got Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart right in front of you. And apparently they posted on social media somewhere that they got a standing ovation for the film. But they only got a standing ovation because Kevin Hart came out before the movie. It was like, everybody stand up and wave your hands in the air.
So, like, you just don't care.
Yeah, I think legit that's what he said.
That's a line from the film, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Oof. They were pretty funny on stage.
Because, can I say right away, I didn't laugh once during this film.
Oh, no?
Nope. Didn't laugh once.
I laughed probably three times.
Wow.
The prison yard scene got a couple laughs out of me. Will Ferrell's mad dog face and Kevin Hart getting slapped around by his wife had me in stitches. I think that was about it.
So earlier in the show, I talked about height. Something was bothering me in a later film. This is the film, Get Hard, where Will Ferrell is legit probably 6'4 or 6'5. Tall dude.
Yeah, he's huge.
Kevin Hart's a midget.
Yeah, he's like 5'2".
Yeah, like, my shoes are bigger than Kevin Hart. Yeah. And he's supposed to be the one that's supposed to be like the guy teaching Will Ferrell how to be hard, when it literally looks like Will Ferrell could just stick his arm out and stop Kevin Hart from moving.
Yeah.
Because he is so bloody small.
Yeah, yeah. And they're asking a lot out of the audience.
It took me completely out of the film. And then I kept on watching the film, and it is the biggest homophobic piece of shit movie ever, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
Terrible. We are regressing as a society if this film is supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is prison rape is the punchline for about 95% of the quote-unquote jokes in the movie. And there are 6 screenwriter credits in the film, which I think is an indicator of why it's such a fucking mess.
Do you know, one joke in this film encapsulated all my hate for this film.
No, which one was that?
Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart are in a car, and Kevin Hart is trying to get Will Ferrell to say the N-word.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And Will Ferrell gets kind of tricked into saying it, and Kevin Hart punches him.
Oh, yeah. He's like, oh, sorry, that's just a reaction.
Okay, so racism is bad, but homophobia is not.
Yeah, that's true.
You suck.
Yeah, I never thought
You're
of that.
Terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole movie right there.
Yeah.
Racism and homophobia is, it's like this movie was made in the 70s or 80s or written back then.
Because Blazing Saddles was made in the 70s, and that's a really smart film.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, this is just something completely different.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how somebody actually thought, let's make this film.
Yeah.
And actually put our name on it, because it is just trash.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, just, there was a few moments in the film when I looked around, because lots of people, like most of the audience was laughing, I assume, because, you know, it's a festival crowd, right? You get festival goggles on, I mentioned this previously in a tweet. I talked about how it was like that scene in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Remember when Lauren Holly takes Jason Scott Lee to see Breakfast at Tiffany's? And there's that bit where basically a white guy plays an Asian guy. And
Wayne Rooney.
Yes, that's right. Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney plays an Asian guy and yells and screams like a cartoon. And everybody's laughing except for Jason Scott Lee. That's kind of like what it's like to watch Get Hard, because there are going to be some people who will be very turned off by this primitive form of quote-unquote comedy.
I was talking to somebody about the film. They saw it, and they said it's not homophobic because Kevin Hart's character befriends a gay character.
Oh, yeah. That's like
you are so wrong.
That's like saying, I can tell black jokes because I have a black friend. Yeah. That's not the way it works.
That's not the way it works.
No.
Just as bad last show we had, that really terrible film, Unfinished Business, where mental handicapped was the butt of the joke.
Played for jokes. Yeah.
Both these films are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
Except for one really, really, really bombed and made like $2 million.
Yeah.
This one made like 40-something million bucks.
Did it really? People have
seen this film.
Oh.
And it's just because of the two actors, right?
Yeah. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, actually. Yeah. We were talking about how like the demographics.
Yeah. You were totally right.
Yeah. And it's not racist for me to say that.
You racist piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't think we have anything else to say other than this movie is bullshit and you should not see it.
No. Absolutely avoid it.
All right.
Too many people have already given it money.
Yeah. Far too many. Far too many. And it's just irresponsible.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of Get Hard. All right. Let's move on to Spring.
Look, man, you need to change up your environment.
You're the most attractive person I've ever seen.
Go out with me tomorrow night.
No.
Buongiorno.
Do you remember my name?
You never told me. Scusa.
You're learning.
Le donne sono del cielo del mondo.
And you're not afraid to embarrass yourself. That's good.
11.
Louise.
I've been seeing this Italian girl. She's really pretty.
So I only get to see you at night.
Our nights together must remain a secret.
She acts kind of weird sometimes, and I found something that gives me some doubts.
Are you really from around here?
I'm half undiscovered science. Bunch of confusing biochemistry and some crazy hormones.
You probably lie a lot.
I've actually never lied to you. Even I'm a mystery to myself. I have a medical condition that comes and goes, and it's a very long story.
All right, so you saw Spring before me.
Last September,
Fantastic Fest.
And I couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, man. You put it in your top 10 list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it made your top 10 last year.
Yeah.
Tell us about Spring. Sell us on Spring. Again.
Yeah. Do you like the Before trilogy from Richard Linklater?
Big fan.
What if I was to tell you this film is like that, but the Julie Delphi character is a lizard?
Oh, take my money, man. Take all of my money.
Sold. Okay, it's not quite like that.
That's the sell of the movie, though.
The cool thing about that is that Richard Linklater praised the hell out of that film on Twitter.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I love that. So yeah, it's more or less a guy goes to Europe, like the Jesse character in the Before trilogy, meets a girl from a different country. This time she's Italian.
Yeah, that's right.
They talk a lot, have really good conversations. You like the characters, but the girl has a little bit of a problem.
That's right.
She is kind of turning into a creature.
Yeah, that's
every
right.
Couple hours.
yeah. And a lot of it's like pretty legitimately scary at times. Yeah.
Awesome sound effects.
Yeah. Yeah. And cool creature design and special effects. It all looks really cool.
Yeah. I think this is one of the really great films of the year. Said it then, I'll say it now, because it will not be on my top 10 list.
That's right.
You know my thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the best films of the year so far. The film stars Lou Taylor Pucci.
Okay.
He was kind of an indie star in the 90s.
Oh, really?
Did you ever see Chum Scrubber?
No, or I didn't Thumb see that. Sucker? No, I didn't see those.
Okay, yeah. He was kind of, when he was like a younger guy, he kind of was like a little bit of an indie darling.
Oh, okay.
And then just kind of disappeared. Like, he was in that shitty Evil Dead remake.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
And the girl, Nadia Elker, is like from Germany.
Yeah, she's stunning.
Her first like major, I guess, English-speaking role. She's great.
Yeah, she's... Both of them are just perfect together.
Yeah, the directors, Benson and Moorhead, these guys are just... They got a future.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be making really great films for years.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that Drafthouse has this film, because everywhere I look on Twitter, I see Spring.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And it's not just them pimping it. It's everybody is pimping this film.
Yeah.
Like, big directors.
Yeah.
Big writers.
Oh, yeah. Everybody. Yeah, critics, movie lovers. Yeah.
So what
podcasters.
So what did you think, Matt? You finally,
oh, dude.
So happy you finally saw this film.
I wanted to mention, too, that the platform they released it on is, it's in theaters, limited release. It's also on, like, in the U.S., it's on a bunch of video-on-demand platforms. And for those of us that aren't in the U.S., we could purchase the film for $15 U.S. Through BitTorrent, which I thought was really cool on the day of release. So I bought the BitTorrent package, which includes the movie and like the soundtrack and like some behind-the-scenes stuff. Whole bunch of... It's almost like a full bonus feature disc.
It's the Blu-ray, more or less, without
the disc. Without the disc, yeah.
Yeah.
On the day it opens.
And it's on BitTorrent.
Yeah.
Which has, like, it's synonymous with piracy.
Yeah.
Except for they're trying to turn over a new leaf.
Yeah, and I really enjoy that they did that. So I'm hoping it's doing well. Sounds like it's doing well. But man, this film just annihilated me in the best possible way. I was just all the way in. And if you've listened to the show or ever read my tweets, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I forgot at what point in the movie I started to just like start weeping, but
yes.
It really, really, really got me, man. And I was like, during the credits, all the way through the credits, I was just like bawling. Just so few films connect with me on that intimate level where you feel close to the filmmaker, the actors, writers, everybody involved. It was just such an experience, and so glad I finally got to see it. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost gonna be weird not having to like tell people about this film anymore.
Yeah.
It's all I've been doing for 6 months.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you have. Yeah, like, it's
my
great.
Stupid Twitter feed, all it is like Man U, like player of the match, and Spring.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
I'm talking about. Or I'm
and John Wick.
Yeah.
Chef.
Yeah, like that's the one thing I really dig about our podcast. We've over the 25 episodes, we found a couple movies that we've both really dug that we've totally pimped the hell out of.
Yeah,
like for like 15 episodes there, all we talked about was Chef every episode, it seemed like.
yeah. By the way, go see Chef.
Yeah.
It's still out.
Or like Blue Ruin, or you know, something like that.
Yeah, John Wick. Now Spring.
Yeah. Please support this film. It's the number one horror film on iTunes right now. And
oh,
get this,
sweet.
Number four in romance.
No way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
part of me hopes some suburban housewife, it's number four. I think I should buy it.
Totally.
Yes.
You have no idea what you just did, lady.
But I hope she likes it. The movie's really good.
It is so good.
Yeah. Like it's. I think it's one of those movies that people are going to be talking about for years to come. I think it's really that good.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping it shows up on your midway list.
Oh, yes. Yeah. it would take a miracle for it not to show up. It's phenomenal.
I'll have some special mention of it or something.
Right on.
Because I was cool enough to see it already.
Yeah, Mr. Cool. Ahead of the curve.
Hashtag Drafthouse Films.
That's right. Yeah. Spring. This won't be the last time we mention Spring.
No, not even close. I haven't given up yet.
Yeah.
I'm only going to keep on going.
Yeah, it's super accessible. We have no excuse not to see it. For, you know, less than the price of two tickets, I was able to buy it. And I think that's amazing. I can throw it on, like, my memory stick and pass it around at work and to the friends future, and stuff. Man. Yeah,
DRM-free movies.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Like, if you rent some, if you paid your $8 on iTunes, you press play, that's it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it deletes after it's done. You have 24 hours to watch it. This, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Pass it to your friends. Maybe they'll buy the Blu-ray in 6 months.
Yeah, or rent it.
Yeah, that's the future, man.
Yeah.
DRM sucks.
But yeah, that's
so
that's,
happy you finally got to see it. Yeah. I'm glad you totally liked it.
Yeah, loved it, loved it, loved it. I don't know. I think we've said enough about Spring.
That is it for me.
Yeah.
Until next episode, where I keep on talking about
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I guess we should move on to our new segment that we're introducing, which we're hoping will turn into, it will become a regular thing.
I hope so, because I've already planned out a bunch.
Nice. So, drum roll. It's the Green Screen of Death Movie Club. If you're anything like me, maybe you're not as well-versed in classic films. I'm talking about films that maybe were made before I was born. It's something I'm certainly lacking in. I'm very much a novice when it comes to films that were made before I was born.
You know what, though, man? Since I'm the one programming this, I'm thinking of this more like our podcast.
Okay, yeah.
No rules, man.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever I want.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to thinking, the first movie's got to come out with a bang. And I'm thinking, Adrian just went to South by Southwest. He's been doing festivals for, what, 2 or 3 years now?
It's been about three.
And a pretty good clip, doing his thing. So I thought, what's the best movie I've ever seen at a film festival?
Nice.
And I picked it. Luckily, it's only available on DVD.
Oh, okay.
And I have it. And it's 6 hours long.
6 hours. Wow. What is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, Green Screen of Death Movie Club film number one, The Best of Youth.
The Best of Youth. Wow. The
Best of Youth. The best film I've ever seen at a film festival.
No way.
Saw it at the Vancouver Film Festival in 2003.
Wow.
It's in two parts.
Yeah.
It's on two discs.
Yeah.
Both parts are 3 hours each.
Wow.
It won the Uncertain Regard at the Cannes Film Festival in 2003.
Oh, sweet.
It's a masterpiece.
Wicked.
I probably have seen 100 five-star films at film festivals.
Yeah.
And this is the top of the top.
Oh, really? Man, that's awesome, dude.
I'm not selling this shit enough. Like, I love this film so much.
Nice.
I still remember when I saw it at the film festival. It just absolutely floored me.
Sweet.
It's Italian.
Yeah.
It's a multi-generational family movie, and it's kind of like The Godfather without the crime.
Nice.
It's really damn good.
Wicked.
And here's the rub. If you are in the U.S. and you have a Hulu Plus subscription, it is on Hulu Plus in high definition.
Oh, nice.
Not available on Blu-ray, but it's available on Hulu Plus if you have a subscription.
Cool.
Check this film out.
Right on.
Adrian's going to check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
I'm super pissed at me right now for giving him a six-hour film.
My heart dropped when I heard 6 hours.
The official runtime, 6 hours and 13 minutes.
That's hardcore, man. Bring it on.
Yeah, it's two discs, man. There you go.
Hey, all right. The Best of Youth.
I'm telling you, man.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up, Ebert and Roper.
Damn right.
Let's do this. So that is film number one of the Green Screen of Death Movie Club. Feel free to play along at home. Next show.
Or if you don't want to, I swear film number two will be a lot shorter.
Okay, cool. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
If you feel like playing along, watch the movie. and listen in on next episode, which will be posted in 3 weeks.
I'm pretty sure the next film is only like an hour and a half.
Okay.
Maybe a little longer. But.
Wicked. All right. So I've got some homework to do before the next show.
I'm such a dick.
That's crazy, man. I'm hoping that I'll be thanking you next episode. We'll see.
I hope so, too. I really do. I'm really hoping this isn't one of those films where I absolutely adore it and you'd be like, oh, no.
It sucked. It was boring.
But hey, man.
Yeah.
That's, I thought that was the film to start it with.
Wicked.
I might use this sooner or later, but I'll tell you anyway. The other film I was thinking of doing was an Oscar tie-in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm way overthinking this. So I was like, Alejandro González Iñárritu's Birdman just won Best Picture.
That's right. I'm
pretty sure Adrian hasn't seen his debut film, Amores Perros.
What's the translation on that one?
Love's a bitch.
Oh, no. I haven't seen that one. No.
And I was like, well, no, Best of Youth. It's 6 hours long, and it's nice. Going to really intimidate him.
Oh, man. Oh, well, bring it on. I'm glad I have 4 days off next week.
You will not be disappointed. I'm sure of it.
Right on, man.
Yeah. So, yeah. Film number one, people. The Best of Youth.
Sweet.
2003. Italy. Marco Tullio Giordano.
Right on. Director. Right on. Cool. All right, let's do it.
I'm a dick.
Ah, well, I agreed to do it.
Yep.
But you know what? I have a feeling that I'll be thanking you every episode. Hopefully every episode.
I hope so too.
Yeah. Cool. So that's the first one. So that concludes our main reviews. Guess we can get into our next segment. This one's going to be a little bit different, and I know we're running a little bit longer than usual, but
happens. It's not my fault this time.
It's not Bill's fault. It's my fault. I was the one who went away and went to a film festival. So, like we mentioned earlier, I went to South by Southwest for the first time, maybe the only time, because of our weak, shitty dollar and time consumption, stuff like that. Anyway, I just wanted to open up with a few little tips from a first timer and also just give a quick shout out to some festival buddies I met and hung out with there. So, first, shout out goes to the Movie Bear podcast group of three. So big hello to Jim, Brad, and Will. Jim and Brad are from Tucson, Arizona. And Will is from Austin, so he's been to Fantastic Fest. We've probably crossed paths a few times. I gave their show a listen this week, and they're pretty wacky, crazy guys and a lot of fun. So, yeah, if you like movie podcasts, give them a try. And also big shout-out to Curtis Waloshchuk from Vancouver, big programmer at Vancouver International Film Festival. He was there for South by Southwest. We caught a lot of shuttles together. Saw a few movies together, shared a lot of notes. We agreed and disagreed on a bunch of films, and always a good time to run into Curtis. So yeah, as I mentioned, I just wanted to talk about a few tips for anybody who's going or has been before. First thing I recommend, stay as close to downtown as possible. I was on the north route on the hotel shuttle, and it took me like sometimes 40 to 60 minutes to get home at the end of each night. That was brutal. Time is your enemy, so stay close to downtown if you can. Eat free whenever you can, but only when it's convenient. Don't go out of your way and miss a screening because you want a free breakfast taco.
breakfast tacos.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of those during Fantastic Fest. Every morning, you go into the Highball, which is the bar attached to the Fantastic Fest venue.
Yeah.
And they had breakfast tacos for $2.
Oh, nice.
So I bought like four of them and
I didn't know that. Damn.
Pro tip from Bill.
There you go. Yeah. Check that out. I recommend express passes as much as possible. Express passes you have to use strategically. So if you're going to smaller venues like the Ritz or maybe South Lamar, an express pass can be your best friend if you're seeing back-to-back screenings. Now, this is for press people. If you're press, you get more than two express passes. So make sure to utilize every one of them and use them to keep your options open.
Bullshit.
Bill says bullshit. He is right. But yeah, definitely get up early, get in that express line. It doesn't take long. Utilize those passes and use them to keep your schedule open. I actually had a whole bunch that I didn't use. When you're at the festival, sometimes you'll call an audible and go see something else. First half of the festival is a lot less cluttered. Shuttles are very comfortable. You'll get a seat to yourself. But once you get into the second half, you've got music people there, as well as interactive and film, all catching the same shuttles. And man, it gets packed. There was a couple shuttles that went past me at one point, and I made it to my screening on time. But man, that was stressful, not knowing if the next shuttle would pick me up.
I would have been like, let's get some barbecue.
Yeah. Just wanted to share a couple of cool stories that happened while I was there. I was one of the cool kids who was invited to Tim League's house for a country boil. Not a barbecue. I learned the hard way from my friends. It is not a barbecue. There's a big difference between barbecue and slow country boil. Very first time there. Very cool. Ran into a bunch of familiar faces. Introduced myself to some people. I made a big effort to be more extroverted
this time around. This is where I kind of lost my fucking mind when I heard this.
Yeah. So I told Bill as it was happening, or moments after it happened. So I'm at the boil, getting my fill of sausages and crawfish and corn on the cob and spicy potatoes, and I just drank water. I can't handle beer. Anyway, standing around talking to people, I'm like, my feet are sore. I'm going to go sit over there by that older couple.
Oh, you bastard.
So I sat down. They both turned and said hi to me. And I was like, oh, hi, how are you? Just being friendly, right? They asked me about me. They asked what I'm all about. I told them I love films. I'm here for the festival. I have a podcast. I write movie reviews, blah, blah, blah. So they're super friendly, just like super down to earth, just salt of the earth kind of people, right? I was like, I kind of picked up on, well, I haven't really had a chance to talk to you about you. So I was like, well, what are you two all about? Are you local? Are you here for the film festival? Are you, what's your story? And they go, well, our son is here with his film. And I got really excited. I was like, oh, I wonder if I know who that is. So I go, they didn't mention him right away, but I was like, oh, which film and what's your son's name? And here's where Bill's like, fuck you. Mind you, this is on the first day of South By, and I'm just having the time of my life here.
And I am just gritting my teeth when he's telling me this.
Yeah. So the mother goes, hey, Josh, come over here. And I look look up. And it's Joshua Oppenheimer, writer-director of The Act of Killing and The Look of Silence. And he turns and looks at me. And I was just, that's probably the most starstruck I felt the entire festival.
Totally doesn't help that he's probably made the best film of the year already.
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 Yeah. Yeah. It is outstanding.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah, so
opens in July.
That's right. The Look of Silence. Put it on your radar.
Yeah.
But be sure to see The Act of Killing before that.
Yes.
So he comes over and I stand up and he extends his hand and I shake his hand and look him in the eye. I go, wow, I'm a really big fan of your films. And I told him all about my reaction to The Act of Killing. I told him I saw the director's cut. And I said, I got physically ill and I was quite sick the next day. And he was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry about that. And he was just like the most soft-spoken guy I spoke with the whole week. And for him to be that gentle and soft after going through some of the most horrific things, witnessing some of the most horrific things humankind can ever witness, I just thought, wow, what a guy. Like, not only is he an outstanding filmmaker, but what a wonderful human. So he was upset, genuinely upset that his films really got to me, but it was a good thing. I told him, you know what? You're telling essential stories, stories that need to be told. And I thanked him for making those films, and we had a brief discussion. He was on his way out, so it was actually really nice to be able to say hello and be able to say thank you. Thank you for those films.
I don't like meeting filmmakers. But when I heard you met Joshua Oppenheimer, I was pretty much crying. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if there's one person I'd want to like talk film with, it'd be him.
Yeah.
He's an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah. He's super, super nice, super cool, and super talented, man. He's so good. So day one.
Adrian wins.
I win.
Adrian wins.
So, and you know, I'm around a bunch of really cool people, and I ran into Macon Blair from, you know, I'm from Blue Ruin, and I met his wife, and he lives in Austin now. So we had a chance to chat and just talk about life. It wasn't us just talking about his movies or film festivals. We were just talking, and that was cool. So
nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah, that was my first day at South By before I saw any movies. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So
look at you getting invited to Tim League's house.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You elitist bastard.
That's me, man.
I don't think you're even allowed on the podcast anymore. You're just so much better than that's me, right. Obviously.
My best friend's house. Mind you, he was so busy, I didn't even have a chance to say, hey, thanks for inviting us.
I've never even talked to the man, so.
I've talked to him, spoken with him a few times.
Bought a lot of his Blu-rays, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy. Anyway, I just wanted to share that bit of information and that story.
So good, man.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So I'll just briefly run through my top 10 films I saw at South By. The first one, number 10.
Cinderella.
Number 10, Cinderella. Now, number 10 is Knock Knock, It's Tig Notaro. Documentary about Tig Notaro, a stand-up comedian. She's also doing a bit of stuff in films. She was in the movie In a World, and she was really funny in that. Very brief role, but very funny.
So weird. I totally know who Tig Notaro is.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you listen to the podcast This American Life?
No, I don't.
She found out she had cancer.
That's right, yeah.
And she, the day that she found out, she went and did a stand-up show where she just talked about cancer. It is the most brutal, funny, sad thing I've ever heard in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
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 And This American Life had that. They taped the show and played it on that. And it's you got to listen to that. That's really good stuff.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, this documentary, it's actually opening Hot Docs this year. It's the opening night film. And what a good choice. It's just very personal, very intimate. She goes on the road with John Doerr, a good friend of hers. And the two of them going do stand up in people's houses and their living rooms and Jesus. Their barns and their churches. She just kind of put something out on social media saying, hey, I want to come play at your house. People made videos like, hey, if you come here, we'll have a barbecue and we'll
Chef.
Yeah, totally. And it's so funny the way she like uses the space. Like there's a scene where she, you know how some comedians, no, I'm not going to spoil that. That's one of the best parts in the movie. She does some really creative stuff. And a lot of the material they use doesn't feel like it was all pre-written. It all feels natural and just made for them. Like she just has fun with the audience. And it's so funny and very, very heartwarming because she does talk about cancer and her fight with cancer. Nothing is out of bounds in this film.
That's cool.
It's so good.
Look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, and it's one of the films where I'm like, wow, I'm so thankful for digital filmmaking because they've got GoPro cameras and, you know, whatever digital cameras they were using at the time. If they were shooting on film, they wouldn't have captured half of the footage they captured. That was just hilarious. Next.
Film number 9.
Film number 9.
Is still a dick.
That's right. He is.
I thought I'd jump in there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I went and I don't know if he was just having a bad day, but I saw him sitting there and I was like, well, we're the only two people in this row. And I was like, oh, hey, and how's it going, man? And he's like, oh, hey. And I was like, how's South By going for you? And he's like, oh, good. And then he just kind of turned to his paper he was reading here.
Be a different story if it hadn't happened multiple times.
Yeah, yeah.
A dick.
Yeah. So that was whatever.
So what's the real number nine? I haven't taken anything over this podcast. I've been really good. So I thought, yeah, I'm just going to take that part over right there.
Thanks, man.
This podcast totally isn't going long at all. So
that's right. Number nine is Twinsters. It's a documentary about a woman who lives in LA. She's got like a YouTube channel. She's been in some films. She's been like an extra in some films and had some small parts. When she receives an email from somebody saying, hey, we look exactly alike. I think we could be twins. And she opens with the movie with that, with her story of how she received this message that like changed her life. They start talking through Skype and Facebook. They exchange pictures. And sure enough, they look identical. They both come from the same place. They're born on the same day. They were both adopted. So they're like, well, we have to be twins. So it's just their story of them coming together to find out if they're twins. And it's really heartwarming. It's light. It's very good. If there's any complaint I have about it, it's sort of toward the middle and toward the end, it lulls a little bit. Like once they meet, they giggle a lot. They giggle nonstop. And sometimes they have just sequences that are far too long of them just giggling, which is fun, but squee. You don't need extended sequences of that.
Squee.
That's right. Number eight is a film that will be available, I'm sure, very soon. Alex Winter's Deep Web, a story about the internet that exists below the surface level internet, where people do complete illegal transactions. It was all about an organization that sold drugs and other contraband through the deep web. And it was like a multi-billion dollar industry. The really cool thing about this film is Alex Winter managed to get vendors and previous forum moderators to interview in his film. And of course they're anonymous because it'd be very dangerous if they weren't. And they speak very candidly, very... they can do some really crazy details of how they ran their business. Like they would send drugs to kids in the mail and it would be like in a, you know, Justin Bieber DVD. Wow. And it's like, wow, you lift the disc out and there's some smack there for them. And it's crazy.
I have a weird question.
Yeah.
Did Wild Stallions do the soundtrack?
Wild Stallions did not do the soundtrack.
Hello, San Dimas.
Yeah. If you're lost on this reference, Alex Winter played Bill in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Bill S. Preston.
Esquire.
And I'm Ted Theodore Logan. And we are
Wild Stallions.
Totally didn't rehearse that.
No, we didn't. And the cool thing is, Keanu Reeves narrates the film, which I thought was awesome.
That is awesome.
He's getting into a lot more film production kind of thing. And, of course, he's here to help his friend. And it's a really good film.
Can't wait to see that, actually. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
He made a doc a couple of years ago called Downloaded about Napster.
Yeah.
It was also pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
This one plays like... almost like a thriller narrative, the way it unfolds, the way they tell it. So I wasn't familiar with the story at all. So it was all new to me. And
that's cool.
It's really entertaining.
That's why you go to film fests.
Yeah.
I totally don't believe we just did the Bill and Ted thing.
That was nice, man. That was nice. Number seven, Hello, My Name is Doris. The Sally Field film. Also starring Max Greenfield. He's the guy from...
Schmidt from New Girl.
In a nutshell, Sally Field's an old lady, right? Older lady. She's still cute and charming and sexy as hell in this film.
And a national treasure.
She is. She truly is.
Yeah.
it would be nice if she did more films. if you look at her resume, she doesn't have a lot of stuff in like the last 10, 15 years. So she's obviously very selective about the roles she's taking, because she's the kind of person who could call all her own shots. And man, I'm so happy she's in this film. She completely transforms into this character named Doris, who's just this quirky older lady who develops a crush on the new guy at work, played by Max Greenfield. And to be honest, he is a really handsome dude and really fit, and he's even more amazing in person.
Wow. Wow.
I have no problem saying that.
He was in Veronica Mars.
So oh, was he?
That's allowed.
Okay. All right. But the two of them are just, their chemistry on screen is great. You know, she becomes friendly with him. They casually kind of flirt, and it's just very fun. It's a fun movie. It dances a fine line between fun and almost making fun of Doris, but they don't go that far. It was just charming film. I really enjoyed it and so glad I watched it. Cool. Hello, My Name is Doris. That will be available, I'm sure. My next film, number 6, it's called A Brave Heart, the Lizzie Velasquez story. It's about a woman named Lizzie Velasquez who's from Austin, Texas. She stumbled upon a really nasty YouTube video. Now, the thing is, she was born with a condition that prevents her from gaining weight. So as she gets taller, she's not gaining weight. So she's very skinny, very thin. And somebody on the internet uploaded a video calling her the ugliest woman on the planet. And that is just hateful, disgusting, and would crush anybody on this planet. She took that video and just flipped it around, and she just, to steal a line from Game of Thrones, she wore it like armor. She embraced her condition and used it as a way of becoming an anti-bullying, what's the word?
Crusader,
yeah. And she is just a ball of energy, a ball of inspiration and beauty, I would say, because she's been through so much, and for her to be able to smile the way she does, it just lit up a room. Yeah, she's got apparently, like, I haven't seen it, but she delivered a TED talk that went viral and just inspired people all over the world. So it's a beautiful film. I really hope everybody gets a chance to see it. It's called A Brave Heart, the Lizzie Velasquez story. And I'm halfway through writing my review for that film. And I say, if you have a dry eye through the whole film, you are a robot and you just failed the Turing test.
So, I'm pretty sure that I'll take that challenge.
Yeah, bring it on. My number 5 film is one that Bill really, really wanted to see, and actually I'll put on my radar. Montage of Heck, a Kurt Cobain documentary. Just phenomenal footage. I'll be the first to tell you, I liked Nirvana growing up, quite enjoyed their music, didn't really grow to fully appreciate them until about maybe 10 years ago. And the footage that we're presented with is totally unseen, unheard, and you hear, like, he was just an artist through and through.
It's all from, like, cassettes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, all he did was play his guitar and record himself. And in some of the songs, you can hear the early development of some of the songs that became big, especially on their album, Nevermind. The really cool thing about those cassettes, most filmmakers would have played the audio footage to a montage of pictures. But in this one, they animate him, bringing him back to life in an animated film. And they play his music, and he's playing. And it's like, wow, it's like he's back, you know? Montage of Heck truly mirrors the chaotic creation of the music and art that he created. It was just, it's a beautiful experience. I'm so glad I saw it at Paramount, because it was big, it was loud, it was aggressive. It was just full of anger and love. And man, It kicked ass seeing it there.
You're killing me.
Sorry, man.
I was and still am kind of an obsessive Nirvana guy. So this is my film. And it plays on HBO on May 4th. Counting the days.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot wait.
Yeah. If you're a Nirvana fan, you will not be disappointed. You don't even have to be a Nirvana fan to appreciate this film. It is really well done. We'll talk more about that in a future podcast.
Cool, cannot wait.
Yeah. My number four film, The Invitation. Bunch of rich people get together and for a dinner party, a very fancy dinner party, where they're all wearing their best faces and they're on their best behavior. They're all being very polite with each other. But the whole time it feels like something's off. And the story is told from the perspective of one guy. Of course, you're treated to some behind-the-scenes action, but he is suspicious.
Sounds like a porno.
It's not a porno, I assure you. It's an experience, man. Really well acted. Didn't write his name down, but it's got the guy who was in Tremé and Orphan Black. Ah, what's his name? He's like a character actor.
I don't remember.
Shoot. He's really good in it, though. Yeah.
You're amazing, guy.
Yeah. So The Invitation. I don't want to say much more about it, but check it out. Put it on your radar. Go see The Invitation.
Do they get attacked by people in sheep's masks?
Oh, shit. I think we've seen this movie before. No, it's not Your Next. It's really good, though. It's a thriller. Very suspenseful. Clench my butt cheeks the whole time.
Nice.
Number three film, Manglehorn. Al Pacino kind of getting back to being Al Pacino, the Pacino I love.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
David Gordon Green.
Yeah, David Gordon Green. He's played, what, three films in a row at South By?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The criminally underrated Joe.
Which I haven't seen yet.
So good.
I have to get on that.
Nick Cage being dramatic.
Yeah.
Instead of being all stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, this one has Al Pacino. He's he's a locksmith, owns a locksmith shop. He's a man of the community, helps people out. It's a very small town in Texas. He's just a quiet character. Surrounded by people who are trying to love him, trying to reach out, trying to connect with him. And because he's an older man and because we don't know everything about his past, he pushes people away and doesn't always say the right thing at the right time. It reminded me a lot of As Good As It Gets. You know, Jack Nicholson played the character who's hard to love, hard to hate, kind of character. Not to say that they were the same, but sort of whispers of, like, they're cut from the same cloth kind of thing.
James L. Brooks.
And Holly Hunter is in the film. She's great. Al Pacino's great. Harmony Korine is in the film. He has a brief, small part, and he does really well. He added a lot to the film. And in the Q&A, David Gordon Green mentioned that Harmony Korine was able to help him out with one sequence that he didn't think was going to work, but Korine was like, do this. And he was like, oh, that makes so much sense. And it made it in the film.
Did it involve people looking at shit?
No, definitely not. No, he blocked a fight scene
nice.
For him. He was like, I don't know how this will work. And he was like, do this. And it was so simple. And it worked. It was effective. It was awesome. My number two film was my favorite discovery of the festival. A film called A Space Program by Tom Sachs. He's like a contemporary artist. I don't think he's made a film before. Like, he's done shorts, I think. This film is going to it did polarize audiences at South By. A lot of people actually walked out of the film. But A Space Program is sort of a mockumentary slash performance piece that's filmed and put together as a film. The mission is to send two women to Mars to answer the age-old question, are we alone?
I thought it was going to be, does Mars need women?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of subtext going on in here. I think that's going to fly over a lot of heads, and I don't blame them. Opening of the film introduces all the engineers, the astronauts, and this space shuttle is built out of, like, plywood. And
not going to work.
Yeah. So it's a mission to Mars, but about 10 minutes, 15 minutes in, you find out, wait, they're not going to Mars. They're just going to pretend they're going to Mars. So they have like a shuttle launch sequence where they show like a model shuttle and they shoot it with one of the cameras. And it's sort of made to look like the takeoff for Armageddon. And they have these little like blowtorch for the rockets. They zoom in on that to make it look like that's the shuttle taking off. And as it's taking off, they have like hand-drawn pictures of what it looks like as it's taking off from Earth. And they're very basic drawings, right? And they've got like soundtrack and sound effects that go along with it. And they show the girls in the shuttle and they're like shaking around and stuff. And then there's a shot which really hooked me. You see a shot of Earth, which is just a globe. And then you see the moon. And you see a guy wearing a black shirt, black long sleeve shirt. He's got gloves. He's holding the shuttle. And they've got like a flashlight over top to illuminate the shuttle. And he's flying the shuttle, making it look like there's a shot of the shuttle in space. I know it's hard to sell it this way, but if you watch it, it could be for you. Like, I thought it was sci-fi by way of Wes Anderson. It had that kind of vibe, that kind of feel to it. And man, I connected with that one big time.
Sort of sounds like the right kind of fucked up for me.
Yeah, it is wacky.
I'm good with that.
And holy shit, there's like a couple sequences where I was just like, holy fuck, people are gonna hate this so much. But I love it. I'm like sitting there just loving it. I was like cheering through the whole show. I was like applauding and not just playing it up. I was like, I felt really excited while I was watching it, because I was watching something that was so fresh, so original, and so goddamn bold and daring. I was just like, man, I wish more filmmakers would take chances like this, because it is a risky, risky film. I loved it.
Sweet. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, Space Program. And of course, number one, which is one we'll be talking about again in a couple months, Ex Machina, the Alex Garland film with Oscar Isaac just being the man. And I always forget how to pronounce his name, the Gleason guy.
Domhnall.
Gleason.
And Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, that's right. And the three of them, I really don't want to say much about the film.
Yeah, other than, because I want to see
it. Yeah, you need to see it. It's awesome.
It's already opened in Europe.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
Opened in Europe 2 months ago.
Yeah, yeah. So see Ex Machina as soon as you can. I loved it to bits. It was my number one at South By. And honorable mentions, really quick, We're Still Here, really cool horror film. Night Owls, two people stuck in a house together, talking, being very cute, charming, and funny together. The Final Girls is like a self-aware horror slasher parody. It's very meta, very, very meta humor in it. Wild Horses was really good. I enjoyed that. That's a Robert Duvall flick. Has a major, major problem. His wife plays the lead in the movie. She's got a really bad accent. So
good Rolling Stones song too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And sorry, man, I've got nothing to offer you on that
throwing
one.
Throwing weird shit again. Out of the blue. Bill hasn't talked in a while, so he's got a weird crap in.
Yeah. And a documentary called Made in Japan. It's about a Japanese country singer who played the Grand Ole Opry back in the 60s. And she was the only person who received a standing ovation during that performance that night. And she was very big in Japan, and she had the following in Nashville. And she returned to Nashville like a few years ago with the goal to play in the Grand Ole Opry again. And of course, times have changed. They're more commercial. They're more corporate. So it's about her journey and goal to play there again. It was a very beautiful film, very interesting. And at the very end of the film, Tomi Fujiyama, she's the artist. She came out and played a song for us, and it was just so beautiful. And as you can imagine, I was a sloppy mess because I got annihilated by the film. And then she came out and played a live show for us. And that was just one of the most moving experiences I had at the festival. So that's my South by in a nutshell. Thanks for sticking through that.
Yes.
That's it for me. Yeah.
Do I get to talk now? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
lightning round. Did you see anything else other than South by Southwest films? Other than Cinderella?
That was it. I spent all my time watching the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Nice. See, last episode, I was like, I didn't see much. I apologize. Guess what, folks? I'm back.
Bill's back.
I saw some films.
Nice.
I'm going to put these two together. Run All Night / The Gunman.
Oh, yeah, because they both look like Liam Neeson movies.
Yeah, they kind of pretty much are. Except for one's kind of watchable, Run All Night, and one's really terrible, The Gunman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The difference between the films is that you think The Gunman has people in it, but it's only cameos.
Oh, no way. So
it's mostly just a Sean Penn show. At least Run All Night has, like, Ed Harris and Joel Kinnaman and all these, like, decent actors. And it's kind of watchable. It's not great. Not bad. Gunman's terrible.
Oh, that's Skip brutal.
The hell out of that film.
Yeah, because they had, like, a few other people in the, in the credits.
Like, legit, Idris Elba is in the film for 4 seconds.
No way.
If you blink, he's gone. It's terrible. Yeah, Run All Night's okay. So maybe a renter. Cheap Tuesday. Nothing more. I broke something I said I was never going to do. I watched The Duff.
Oh, yeah. What did you think?
Only because Adrian said it was okay or good.
I liked it quite a bit. I
thought it was really generic. If that movie didn't have Mae Whitman in it, it's unwatchable.
Well, and that's the thing. She's so good in it.
Yeah, she's really good in the film.
Yeah.
But everybody else around her is not good. It's exactly what you think it is.
It's like Cinderella.
You've totally seen the film before.
That's Cinderella.
Totally. but, yeah, as I said, Mae Whitman's really good. Yeah, it's not a terrible film. The message is terrible.
Oh, it's brutal. Yeah. It is brutal. Yeah.
And I still stand behind that. I watched it because you said it was good. So, yeah, it was okay. But the message is just terrible.
Yeah.
I saw a South by Southwest film that you didn't see.
Oh, nice.
I saw Roar.
Oh, that's right. How was that?
Roar, it's pretty funny, wacky, holy shit. a family goes to meet their dad in Africa. Their dad has been raising animals, including like 100 lions and jaguars and leopards and elephants and this giant nature reserve.
Oh, geez.
And this family arrives. They kind of get their signals crossed. The father thinks he's picking them up, but they come while he leaves to go and pick them up. So they're there all alone. It's like 3 boys, a girl, and the mother. And they just get terrorized by these beasts.
Oh, shit.
And it's awesome.
Nice.
Loved it.
Wicked.
If there's anytime they're getting beaten up, it's rad. The plot is incredibly terrible, but my God, these stupid white people get destroyed by these animals. It's great. There's a scene in the film where Melanie Griffith gets like mauled by like a lion, and she had to have facial surgery to correct the giant wounds on her face.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful.
That's insane.
I love the film.
Yeah. It's right great. On.
It opens next month.
Yeah.
It's from like 1980 something. So
yeah,
it's on DVD. That's where I saw it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Drafthouse Films has it and they're pimping it.
That's so wicked.
It's going to be around. Nice. Check it out.
Nice.
A documentary on the Holocaust called Night Will Fall, made by the BBC. During the war, the Americans and the English, when they went to concentration camps to liberate them, they sent cameramen. And the BBC was going to make a documentary, but they censored it.
Oh.
This is the first time it's ever been seen, and it's really great.
Wicked.
It's just really brutal. It's everything you already knew,
yeah.
But the footage is so intense.
Oh, wow.
That it kind of brings a new light to it.
Yeah.
But it's really brutal.
Wow. Like
everything you think, they filmed it.
Wow.
Yeah. Not for the faint.
Yeah.
Because this will kick your ass.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's this wasn't made by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
This was real life.
No filters in that one.
Pretty
eh?
Brutal.
Wow.
Insurgent.
Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Next.
I love it.
Documentary on Hillsboro.
Okay.
Hillsboro was a soccer stadium, Sheffield Wednesday's soccer stadium. And in the 80s, Liverpool played Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup semifinals. And there was overcrowding in the crowd. And 96 people got crushed and died.
Yeah, I remember seeing that footage. That scared me.
It's brutal documentary. And obviously, I don't support Liverpool.
Right.
You do.
Yeah.
But you cannot help. But the people, the families just got screwed.
Oh,
they,
really?
They were never told what happened properly. Like,
wow.
The police covered it up.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. So it took like almost 20 years for them to get justice.
Wow. What year did that take place?
86, 85.
Yeah, okay. I remember as a little kid seeing like newspaper headlines and photos of people with their faces against the fence.
Just disgusting.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube. It was it's part of the ESPN 30 for 30.
Okay.
And I pirated it on YouTube because I really wanted to see it, but check it out. It's as a Liverpool fan, you should see it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just you need to see that.
Yeah.
And the last film I saw was the DreamWorks Fox animated film Home.
Oh yeah,
the number one film at the box office.
It crushed. I don't even know what it's about.
It's about once again, DreamWorks cannot cut a trailer. That trailer is nothing what the film is. Like, it's not even close.
Oh, it's just like How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yeah.
So it's a race of aliens running from another race of aliens. So they decide they're going to colonize Earth because they won't be able to find them on Earth. Except for the Jim Parsons voiced guy is an idiot and sends an email to their enemy saying, "We are on Earth. Come and get us."
Oh, jeez.
Chaos ensues. Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah, so I'll be skipping that
one. Yeah, I know how much you love animated films.
Oh, the last few years, man.
Yeah, unless it's Japanese and directed by Hayao Miyazaki.
Or the, what's that one studio? They do like stop motion, Paranorman and...
Oh, Laika.
Yeah, I'll watch their stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty good too.
Yeah.
That's it for me, Lightning Round.
Wicked, thanks, man.
And we got some opening soon films. April 3rd, y'all. Furious 7.
Yeah. We family.
So bad. I was thinking of watching the other ones, but I noticed that I only own Furious 5.
Oh, really? Probably the best one in the
Oops
series.
Yeah. Another film that's going to absolutely destroy in Victoria, Women in Gold with Helen Mirren.
Oh, yeah.
About a woman trying to get her painting back from the Germans, I think. Because it was like taken during the war. Looks nice. Exactly what you think it is.
It'll play for 4 months here.
It will. Don't really care at all. April 10th, this is where it gets lean.
Oh, boy.
Nicholas Sparks writes a lot of books.
He does. What's this one called again?
The Longest Ride.
Oh, man.
It looks really bad.
I think I'm getting dragged to that one.
There's a new Nicholas Sparks movie every 6 months.
I know.
And they're all terrible. Yeah. I even hate The Notebook.
Yeah, I liked it the first time I watched it. And then I watched it again. I was like, ugh, this is manipulative shit.
That is the only film opening that day.
Wow.
It's like everybody's really afraid of Furious 7. And they probably should be, because that's going to open to 100 million plus.
Oh, big time.
April 17th, Child 44.
Haven't heard of that.
A German soldier trying to find an abducted kid. With Tom Hardy.
Okay.
Noomi Rapace, Joel Kinnaman, and Vincent Cassell.
Wow, why haven't I heard of this?
Exactly.
That's a wicked cast.
I had no idea this film even existed until like an hour ago.
Wow. What the fuck?
It opens in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Haven't seen a single ad.
Tom Hardy's got an amazing haircut in the trailer, too.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Nice.
I have no idea if that's even opening. It sounds like it's very limited, but I was like, okay, that's too good of a cast.
Yeah.
The Disney Nature film of the year, Monkey Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I saw a trailer for that.
Ooh. This is the story of a monkey. Next. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Yes. Okay, what's next?
I never saw the first one.
Yeah.
I think I'll see this one either.
I've seen bits on cable, and it's exactly what you think it's going to be.
The trailer is terrible for part two, too. So,
yeah.
No thanks. And a movie you've seen. Unfriended.
Oh, that's right.
Even though it's probably going to be different because they're recutting it.
Yeah, that's right. It's a horror film that takes place entirely on this girl's Mac screen.
So it's like the Nacho Vigalondo film Open Windows.
Oh, is that what that's about?
Yeah.
Okay. This one I sort of liked. Put that on your poster. I sort of liked this film.
Adrian Charlie, next projection.
That's right. Man, the characters are just such shitty little assholes, though. And I mentioned to you before, the girl who plays the lead, I think they're supposed to be in high school or just got out of high school, but she legit looks like 28, 29 years old. And she's a very pretty girl. She is... yeah, I would definitely make her my cell phone background, if you know what I mean.
That was creepy.
I would add her on Facebook and Instagram in an instant.
Wow.
But yeah, the actors are not so great, and the characters are shit, but there's some really cool genre moments, and they do some kind of cool things in the film, so... If you're under the age of 18, you'll probably dig it. If you're over 18,
watch Open Windows, directed by Nacho Vigalondo, starring Elijah Wood and Sacha Grey.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a really cool, I'm not going to say it, but there's a really cool character actor in Open Windows that when he came on the screen, I literally screamed out loud.
Oh, in L.A.?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So good.
Right on. That's on Netflix now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on the upcoming?
That is it.
Oh, that's a lean time in the
next
movies.
Next show is going to be me talking about nachos or something.
Yeah. Oh, man. And me going, still haven't watched a full hockey game yet this season.
Yeah.
We are.
Adrian will still have a cough, too.
Yeah, I'll still be sick. Yeah. That'll be me. So
that was a really long show.
It's a long show. Sorry, this is what happens when I go to a festival or when one of us goes to a festival and when we see a bunch of movies. This is what you get. But we hope to, our goal is always to put some good films on your radar and take some shit films off your radar. That's our goal here.
I swear to God, if you see Get Hard, I will beat the living shit out of you.
Yeah.
Was I clear enough?
Yeah, I think that's clear. Yeah. I will hold you while Bill punches you in the face.
Oh, I hate it. That film so much.
So bad. Yeah. And it was so empty at your screening that you actually texted me in the middle of the film.
I was the only person there. Oh,
no way. Private screening for Get Hard.
Yeah, middle of the film, I took my phone out. I texted AJ. I'm like, this film is so fucking shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. That's too bad. Well, I guess we should get into some paperwork here. A little bit of business at the end of the show. You can find us on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes, and other podcast platforms. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. You'll find us. And if you like, please subscribe to us. Throw us a rating and a comment. That helps us find a wider audience. We're also available on social media. We have a Twitter account that we update once a week or so. We're at @green_screen. We're also on Facebook, so run a search for The Green Screen of Death. We'll pop up. We're also on Instagram, under The Green Screen of Death. There's no spaces in there. So where can people find you, Bill?
They can find me on Twitter, @soundjam69. And a friend of mine listened to the last show. I'm going to hijack this for a sec.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of mine listened to the last show and proceeded to tell me that he thought I was high. I was not high last episode.
No, definitely not.
Adrian was really sick.
I was like he was walking zombie.
Really out of it. And yeah. I thought I had to take it up a notch.
Yeah.
So I guess I sound like I was high.
Yeah, I had a hard time keeping up last time because I was so sick. Yeah.
But yeah, I am on Twitter, @soundjam69.
Right on.
Say hi.
Say hi. And I'm also on Twitter. I am @Adrian_Charlie. That's the easiest place to reach me on social media. So I guess that wraps it up for episode 25. So if you stuck through the whole thing, send me your address and I'll send you a t-shirt that says, I listened to episode 25 of The Green Screen of Death in full.
Still better than our first episode.
Yeah, totally, man. Fuck. Yeah. If you're listening and haven't listened to our like first two or three episodes, just skip them. They're crap. That's an endorsement right there.
You're so full of endorsements this episode,
that's
man.
That's right. Fuck
yeah.
So, yeah, thanks again for listening. We appreciate it. We do see the numbers. And, again, when we first started out a year ago, we were just like, if we get 10, 15 listeners an episode, that's we're good. We're getting more than that, and that's all gravy to us, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, so until...
I'm very subdued.
That's right, that's right. Cool. All right, until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Peace.